Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Hi, welcome to another Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. I am your host for today, Callie Picardo, and we are here with Dr. Joni Sankin, professor of homiletics at United Theological Seminary and an ordained elder in the Mennonite Church, and also the author of an incredible new resource that we're really excited about called All Our Griefs to Bear, Responding with Resilience After Collective Trauma. It's coming out this fall in November, but available for pre-order now. And we've been doing a four-part series looking at trauma, but also these ways and tools to be able to stop that cycle of trauma, to interrupt it, and to also start to bring healing and resilience. So this is part four. Dr. Sankin, Joni, thank you for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me.
We are looking at blessing today. We've been looking at some of these different tools. We talked about lament. We talked about storytelling. And today we're talking about blessing as a way to respond to trauma. Joni, you said this was a new concept to you. Where did it come from? And what is this concept of blessing to respond to trauma?
This was the hardest chapter to work on for this book. And blessing is so much more complex theologically than what I realized on the surface. I mean, I think before I was just sort of guilty of being like, oh, bless you if someone sneezed, or like blessings, like it's like a way of like greeting someone. But it's really, I think, complex theologically. And it has to do with God's outpouring of generous love on creation, both indiscriminately, like overflowing everywhere, and then also with specific intention at particular times and circumstances. But God is not a divine vending machine. So we can't just put in a prayer quarter and expect a blessing to roll out of the machine. Like, we have a relationship with God, and there is mystery to who God is. And this was a really helpful idea for me, that sometimes blessing can be hidden in the shadow of the cross. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we look at blessing, it doesn't look like blessing. So if we look at the person of Jesus, like repeatedly, he was called blessed in scripture, but he also suffered and died on a cross, right? And Mary was called blessed, but certainly she suffered because of what her son experienced. So to hold together that you can be both blessed and also have these experiences, that to have a traumatic or a wounding experience does not mean that you are outside of God's blessing, I think is really powerful to hold together. And to understand the mysterious nature of what blessing is and how we experience it in our world. So that's the hard theology.
I know. And thank you for naming that, because I think it can be easy to gloss over and say, God's going to bless you, or God bless me, Lord, like everything's great and cheerful. But the reality of the human experience is there is pain and suffering on this earth. And yes, we have this hope of heaven that can be really powerful, but we've got to live here on earth right now in a fallen world.
And that life can be really beautiful while simultaneously also having pain and suffering in it. Like, it's never all one thing or the other. And I think our hashtag blessed culture, again, like this is a hurdle. Like every single one of these practices that we've talked about has cultural hurdles that are thrown in the way for people of faith who are seeking to really be intentional and faithful in their biblical and their practice of these things. So, I mean, I think that being blessed is thrown out so often. Like, someone wins the lottery and they're like, oh, I'm so blessed. Like, yes, like perhaps you are blessed, but just because you don't win the lottery doesn't mean you're not blessed, right? Or like, we equate it only with what it is to have material well-being. And that's such a truncated understanding of it and all of its potential. And it leads, I think, to additional pain, because then if you don't experience the windfall, then you assume that God is not there, or that you did something wrong, or something like that.
Yeah, we see that again and again in scripture too. I think of the people that have chronic illness and people said, Jesus, who sinned? Did this person sin or did his parents sin? And God's like, nope, I was planning to bring healing to him. That this is for a greater purpose. There's a greater good. But that poor person who had to live with the illness for so many years of their life, but then got to experience the miraculous healing too. It's that twin nature, two sides of the same coin, and that there's often good and blessing at the same time as there is hardship and suffering.
Yes. And in scripture, it often feels like the ones that are like set aside to specially receive God's blessing also seem to experience more suffering. And I mean, I feel like this side of the realm of God, that often there is like a manifestation of the presence of God, often is accompanied by backlash and like resistance and those kinds of things. It's never so much to derail God's purposes. Like nothing can derail God's purposes. But often I have come to see, oh, if there is that backlash, oh, then God is doing that. Like God is behind that. Or like, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're on the right path. Stay the course. I recently had read a book called The Power of Half that was about a family in Atlanta who their daughter felt that if there was a greater distribution of wealth, like she had seen a homeless man like asking for change. And she also saw a person in like a really fancy Mercedes, like at the same time, at the same intersection. And she was all like, this is not right. If this guy didn't have this fancy car, maybe that guy could have dinner. And so their family ended up downsizing their lives by half. Like Wow. They actually sold their home and bought a home that was half the size and then gave that money. They created a foundation and it was like part of their family's process. It drew them together as a family, but they also received massive backlash because what they were doing was so like counter to kind of the American dream of like, oh, you had a dream house. Oh, you've worked hard. Like you deserve all of this. This is your blessing. Whereas they felt like, to be a blessing to others was the blessing to them. Like they were happier as a family in a smaller house and giving to others. Like they were so much more aware, but that they experienced that backlash because it threatened the prevailing way of being in the world. It threatened that. And so I think if you experience that kind of backlash, to know maybe you're on the right track. Like sometimes God's blessing is also, it's not like a get out of suffering free card, right? Just because you're blessed.
And you said with writing this chapter, it really expanded your horizon of what blessing is. So it sounds like blessing can happen in times of suffering, but also blessing can be financial, but not necessarily. What are some of the other pieces that as you were diving into blessing, you realized, oh, this is part of that?
Yeah, there's physical aspects of blessing, like making the sign of a cross with oil on someone's hand or their forehead, like kneeling in prayer, giving a hug, putting a hand on a head. Like these are all physical actions that are kind of associated with giving and receiving blessings. So note that there's this bodily sense of blessing. There's also that material sense of blessing. Like God called Israel to be a blessing to the nations. Like Israel received a special blessing from God, but it wasn't like finite. It didn't end with Israel. Do you know the Magic Penny song where like, love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny. Hold on tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have so many. It rolls all over the floor. So this is a song I would have learned in Sunday school when I was a kid. But it's about sharing the love of God and that just expands it. It's not finite. And so I think of the tornadoes that tore through Kentucky in December, and actually the flooding that's been recently experienced also in poor Kentucky, your poor home state, has had such a horrible last like 6 to 8 months. But the outpouring after those tornadoes in December was so much, like there was so much money and so many toys given for kids that not only were they able to give every child affected by the tornadoes Christmas presents, but they were able to hold on and reserve, and they're going to give these children birthday presents for the next year. So like there was that much, like that is an example of blessing. It's a material blessing. It's an overabundance. People can be a part of that by sharing their material resources. So I think that's a way of being a blessing. And I know we've talked your work in development at the seminary, that certainly when people give to God's mission, that they do view that as part of sharing blessings that they've received in their lives.
Yeah, I've definitely talked to some donors who have said, God's the one who's blessed me, and it's not for me to be the end user. And it's don't see this gift as a gift from us. This is truly a gift from God, and we are just passing it along. And so that I very much believe that giving often starts in that place of gratitude of just, God, thank you. Thank you. I have more than enough. I have more than I need. My needs are met. And so I can help meet some of the needs of others. And so I love that powerful act of generosity that it's countercultural. It's why would you give to someone else what you could keep for yourself? But in God's economy, there is blessing that results from giving. I mean, Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I do not believe in the prosperity gospel. Now, I've seen at times where someone has given generously and sacrificially, and God has stepped in and met needs in miraculous ways. But I've also seen ways where they had less after they gave, but they had more joy, and they got to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and they got to respond to the needs of others. I mean,
not a simple transaction. I mean, God's economy is not like our economy. Like, it just is not. So we can't take the rules of how things work in our world and apply it to God. Like, that just, it doesn't work. So thank goodness. It's hopeful. I mean, I think it causes us to scratch our heads and wonder, but that's, I think, also part of the joy of faith too, is living into that.
How can blessing be a part of the response to trauma? How can it start to bring some healing?
I was just thinking of a few different ways that blessing can be used. One thing, I think blessing can be used to help restore relationships, or to at least leave broken relationships behind. Part of the kind of healing journey of trauma is often coming to a point where you might be able to forgive what hurt you, even if you don't actually follow through with it. Like, forgiveness should never be forced on people, but to even imagine the possibility of being able to forgive, to be able to bless someone and go your separate ways. I think of Jacob and Esau. After Jacob wrestled with the angel and was like, bless me, and then received this blessing, then that blessing was also shared with Esau, and that they were able to, like, tension and the hatred that was between them was able to be let go, and they were able to go their separate ways. And that blessing was part of that. I think it can be something that can be applied at different life transitions. So when someone's retiring, to recognize, like, there's work that's left undone. Like, can we create a blessing for your former workplace and a blessing for you, like, moving forward in a different way? Or when someone leaves a job, to do that. Or if someone moves away from a community, whether it's a geographical move, or you say, okay, I need to leave this church because it's not right for me, to offer a blessing at that time is a way of restoring relationship, maintaining relationship, but also allowing for separation to occur. I mean, we're both kind of in situations where we're grappling with United Methodist Church in the midst of a schism. And I think if there could be some way, like, blessing provides a concrete way to do that. It's a tool for doing that, when often we may struggle on our own. I think of situations of divorce. If there could be a way for a blessing to be offered in the parting of these people, and to allow them to move forward in God's light, even apart from each other. So I think that is a powerful tool of blessing. I think that sense of sharing resources. I talked a bit about Kata Weingarten and the act of compassionate witness. That can be a form of blessing. So doing that kind of very concrete act, whether it's a prayer or a donation toward the locus of pain, or in memory of someone that you've lost, or whether it's donating diapers or bottled water after a flood or a tornado or something, like, that can also be an act of blessing done toward a very concrete situation of need. So it's providing a physical need, but also does something inside you that restores something that's been shattered or at least shaken by the trauma.
I think it restores a sense of power where you felt powerless too. It is a way to actually respond where you feel like, gosh, there's nothing I can do. I mean, you know, when we see the natural disasters, we see this so often where there's just, or even a mass shooting or something where you're like, I've just got to do something. I was hearing about the kids going back to Uvalde, and people were sending school supplies and resources and everything just to send them back, wrapped in arms of love, like people that would want to go and be there with them physically, but they don't even know them, but they're so moved and they can't be there. They can't change what's happened, but they can't, we're not powerless. We can do something.
That's a great example. I mean, anything that is sacramental. So if you're a churchgoer experiencing the sacrament of communion or baptism, these are symbolic actions that are laden with power. Like that is a regular way that we experience blessing. Like because we're secular, it is really hard for us to understand blessing in a potent way. Like when we read the Bible, like it was almost like blessing was like a physical thing that you had or you didn't have. When you read like Celtic spirituality, it's like there was a blessing in the bush or whatever. Like, I mean, it's really hard for us to imagine a world where God's blessing was like literally dripping off of everything in the world. But to try to somehow imagine that reality. And when we take sacraments and participate in sacraments, I think we enter into that kind of spiritual space that allows that to be the case, that we experience something more than what is there. Like the bread is more than bread and the cup is more than juice or wine or whatever we're having. And so those blankets and school supplies were more than blankets and school supplies. They were like an emblem of love given toward those hurting kids and hurting families. So I think that that sacramental sense is really important.
Well, and I love that too, because I've seen where those sacraments that receiving that blessing from God, but doing it in community, especially when there's been a fracture in the community, can be healing. I've seen communion done that way. I've been a part of election day communions where, you know, people there have been voting for different people and have been on different sides of this political race, but they're coming together with the shared experience of the love of Jesus Christ. Or I've seen foot washings done as well. I've seen, generosity as an act of forgiveness, of letting go too, where someone may have wronged you, but doing something to bless them materially, or maybe you've wronged them and can't, you know, it's not healthy to reenter the relationship always, but to do something to let go, to express that, or to pay it forward where maybe you've done wrong and you can't make amends. I mean, I see this in the recovery community a lot when they come to that point of making amends.
I can't do this, but I can do this. You can do something else. Yeah. With intention toward the hurt that you can't undo. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think in everyday lives, the idea of blessing and the kind of those simple acts, bringing a sacramental focus to that can allow you to reframe things that feel mundane or draining in your life. Like I think a lot of the kind of the menial actions of caregiving, like the making of the kids' lunches, like the changing of the diaper. If you are caring for an older person in your life, like helping them get out of bed, helping them get dressed, helping them go to the bathroom, like that, these things are also sacramental acts. Like they're more than that act. Like if you can put that locus of love and intention on it, I, on my best days, I try to look at grading students' papers that way. Like, this is like an intentional, like spiritual act of like being really close to the student and really attending to the work that they've done. I mean, you can't get there every day, but I think to try to do that, I think also changes you in your environment in such a way that you have more capacity for connection with others.
It sounds like mindfulness to me, like bringing focus back. And I know for me, prayer can be that as well. You know, when I'm sitting down to do one of those things, or as I'm walking through the house, picking up toys, praying for the kids that have strewn these everywhere and made more work for me. Like, no, God, thank you for these kids. Bless them as they play. God, thank you for the laughter and joy in the household. Like changing what is not a fun task at all into one that is, okay, no, let's make this prayerful. God is in the midst of this. God is with me wherever I go. So God, how can you be a part of the day-to-day actions? So I love this topic of blessing. I feel like I could go on talking about it forever, but Jenny, any closing thoughts on this topic of blessing and just how it can respond in collective trauma?
I mean, I would say that it's an important dance partner with the other things. I mean, I think there is a sense of the way that it balances lament, theologically, that lament is the sense of protest and just agony, and that blessing is a sense of kind of being open to what God is doing and where God may be seeking to reach you through unexpected things, or maybe inviting you to extend yourself in an unexpected way. I think that there's a sense of balance, it feels like, by including these two things together.
Yeah, it is. And God, it's the range of the human experience, from the suffering to the blessing, the lament combined with the responsive compassion. You know, it is a both and. And thank you for doing this work that you've done to create the All Our Griefs to Bear book that's coming out in November. I'm really looking forward to reading it. And I know it was a labor of love, but thank you for unpacking it some for us over the series we've done on the Better Together podcast.
Oh, it's been great to talk about it. And I also look forward to it coming out and having more conversation partners.
Well, friends, if this has been a blessing to you, I hope you will share this information about blessings with others to bless them as well, to see how many times I can use blessing in one sentence.
Yes.
But we have been in a series. So if you're hopping in for the first time today, we've been talking about trauma and how to name it, how to identify it, so to start to shed light on it, to stop that cycle of ongoing trauma, but then how to respond with lament, storytelling, and blessing. And so our prayer for you, friends, is that as you go out into the world where trauma is real, where we experience it ourselves and others do too, that as we start to live in and respond mindfully with the Lord, that we can be better together. So in the meantime, God bless.